We're going to be much prayer for each other and ask God just keep His hand over us. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. I'm going to preach to you. The thought is a peculiar thought on the subject, if you knew what Noah knew. You ever think about that? What did Noah know? I will get tongue-tied on that before it's over with. But what did he know? He knew a lot of things. We're going to look at I'm going to try to limit it to one thing this morning. Somebody asked me this morning, said, how long are you going to preach? I said, 75 minutes. And he's like, really? I said, no, I'm going to be short. I said, but I say that every week. But Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, if you'd like to stand, and we'll get ready to read the Word of God this morning. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You can be seated. We'll read it again. And God said to Noah. So we know exactly who God's talking to, right? God said to Noah. He's got a specific message for a specific man at a specific time. God deals, even though God exists outside of time, God deals with us in our time and in our situations and circumstances. But he said, God said to Noah, and I've looked at this, and as far as I can tell, this is the first time that I know of biblically that the Bible tells us that God spoke to Noah. I mean, I'm guessing he probably did before, but this is the first time that it's recorded for us that God spoke to Noah. You imagine the first message you ever got from God, and God says, all right, hey, and God, you're like, what is that? And God says, it's me. And you're like, all right, who are you? I'm God, and you're Noah. Yep, that's who I am. And God says, all right, I want to tell you something. I'm going to destroy the whole earth. First message he got. God could have come down and said, hey, I love you, Noah. I'm going to help you. But God says, man, this world's got wicked. And it's filled with violence. And I'm going to destroy them. That's a hard first message to preach. But, and he says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, and behold, I'm going to destroy them with the earth. Now, up to this point, Noah has already found grace with God. Amen. Has already got grace. Noah's already considered, as the Bible says, perfect in his generations. Now, the Bible's not telling you that Noah was sinless. I don't think that, and nobody else does. But that Noah has a reputation for godliness. Noah is committed to God. Amen. Noah walks with God. Noah, the Bible, Peter said, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And what that simply means is that Noah preached God's character. Now we know Noah didn't have a Bible to preach from. They don't even have the book of Genesis. But he was still yet a preacher of righteousness. So he declares the character of God. How does Noah do that? Well, Noah could preach the existence of God. Noah, no doubt, I believe Noah believed what his dad Lamech taught him about creation. That their great, 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 great granddaddy Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth by the Lord God. And I believe he taught him that. I believe he taught him about Adam. I believe he taught him about Eve. And as Lamech learned himself from Adam, if you study your Bible, Adam lived a whole 63 years after Lamech was born. So no doubt, Lamech got some of his information from Adam himself. And he passed it down to his son Adam, or Noah. They talked about to Enos, and they talked about all these guys. I believe Noah knew the existence of God. I believe Noah preached about the love of God. You say, well, how could he do that? Because when he would relate this story about how God, about Adam and Eve, he would say, and you know, even after they failed, God loved them enough that he covered them. They had made their own coverings of figs and fig trees and all that, but God loved them so much that he sacrificed one of his own creation to cover them. I think Noah could preach about God's love. Noah could also preach about God's patience. He knew that God was long-suffering because his granddaddy lived 900 and some years. Even though God had told him, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And I know they died spiritually. We all know that. But he looked at that and he said, man, but God has prolonged their life 900 years. Man, God must be long-suffering. Amen. You know, if you don't know if you guys know this, but Adam lived 930 years after he ate. Seth was 912. Enos, 905. Canaan, 910. Methuselah, 969 years old. Could you imagine living that long now? That'd be a mess, wouldn't it? So Noah could preach patience, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God. Noah could preach about the fellowship of God. Why? Because he knew about Enoch. He knew that Enoch existed because he exists. He knew that Enoch walked with God and God took him. And as best as Noah can, he is trying to duplicate or imitate Enoch. We read to you, Noah walked with God. Noah talked with God. He's trying his best to enjoy that same fellowship. Genesis 6 verse 9 tells us that Noah walked with God. Only two times in your entire Bible is that phrase used. Walked with God. That's Enoch and Noah. The other folks did, no doubt, but that's the only two times it's used. We know it's again used, or talked about over in Malachi when Levi walked with God. And fellowship with God should not just be a blessing to you. If your fellowship with God is only about you, you're not fellowshipping properly. Our fellowship with God should be a blessing to other people too. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached God's character. He preached you can have fellowship with God. And I believe Noah preached hope. Noah, by this point, I think if I remember correctly, 600 years old, he's lived long enough that he has saw every spring, trees die, and every spring, trees come back to life. Flowers die, flowers come back to life. I thought about this. You imagine the first time Adam watched a rose bloom again? I think weird things. He watches the petals fall off and that reminds him, God told me I was going to die. God told me that was going to happen to me. I'm dying. Then a few days later, a bud starts off again. I believe they looked at that rosebush and they thought, man, there's hope. There's hope for me. There's hope for us. Noah could preach hope. He's lived long enough, folks. He's watched a few flowers bloom again. But now God comes down and says, Noah, I've had enough. God's tired of the violence. God is tired of the corruption. God's tired of man's desire to be like God's. That's what got Eve in trouble. Satan the serpent says to her, oh, you'll not die, you'll be like gods. And that's the first way, one of the biggest ways that Satan tempted Eve. As the Bible says, he beguiled her, it means he seduced her. He tricked her. That word beguiled means to be wholly seduced. We're living in a culture right now where the devil is trying his best to seduce us spiritually. Second Timothy 3:13, Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's exactly how we're living right now, and that's exactly how it was in Noah's days. Men were wicked, they were seduced, and I ask you a question. If God had had enough in Noah's day, how do you think God feels about us today? Is God fed up now? Has God had enough of this violence? Brother David just now told me about a little kid, 6 years old, takes a gun to school and shoots his teacher. 6 years old. You think God's getting tired of this mess that we're living in? I believe God is. The Bible continues. Genesis chapter 7 verse 1, God comes down and says to Noah, get in the ark. Get you and your family and get in the ark. It's not rained yet. It's not done nothing. They've built it. But now God says, get in. And it's not going to rain for another week. But God said, get in. The animals start walking. Here they come. And they come just from everywhere. I mean, you've got people sitting out there. I mean, the people from the animal planet, they're out there trying to document what's going on. You know, where in the world are all these animals coming here? I mean, here they are out in the middle of the desert, and there's everything coming there. I mean, you've got lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. You've got all that stuff. They're just coming. They're coming. They're coming. You've got giraffes. You've got orangutans. You've got monkeys. You've got, snakes coming. Everything is making its way to this one centralized location, and everybody's looking around. What in the world? What is happening? I mean, the CNN people are there, and they're saying it's Trump's fault. And you got this crowd over here. They're saying, well, you know, Biden's fault. You got this crowd over here. Well, it's nobody's fault. It's just happening. It's just evolution, and that's what this. And they didn't know what was going on. They just kept going. And God said, "Get in." Genesis 7:1. Genesis 7:4. He says, "For yet 7 days, and I'll cause it to rain." Genesis 7:5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. 7 days, Noah sets in that ark, not a drop of rain. I venture to say that people outside the ark will say, Noah, you look foolish. Noah, you're preaching, you're screaming about rain. Don't even know what rain is. It's not even cloudy. What's wrong with you, Noah? What's going on? You're sitting in there, Noah. Nothing's happened. It's been just like it's been for the last 2,000 years. Nothing's changed. What makes you think all of a sudden, because you say God told you that this is going to happen. Boy, they let Noah have it. But Noah just sits in the ark. His family. Couple monkeys, some dogs, cats, a giraffe, a hippopotamus. I mean, it's all there. And there sits Noah. So if you'll bear with me just for 19 more minutes, I'm going to preach to you on if you knew what Noah knew. Noah's in that ark. 7 days. I'll tell you the first thing. If you knew what Noah knew, you'd expect a cloud. God's told Noah it's going to rain. Then God says, Noah, get in. Noah's sitting there. He's hearing all the negative. But you know what Noah's thinking? It's going to rain. It's coming. There's a storm coming. I know there's a storm coming. It's going to happen. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. From Genesis chapter 6 verse 17, Noah knows that the flood's coming. In Genesis 7:4, Noah knows the rain's coming. Noah knows that serving the Lord is going to require some storm clouds. Amen. If God's going to send rain, He's going to have to send a cloud Noah's way, right? It's not always easy. It's not always sunshine and roses. Noah knows it's happening. Noah sees the cloud. Noah hears the thunder. Noah sees the lightning. Noah knows that there's going to be a cloud. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to, every now and then, we have got to understand there's going to be a cloud in our life. There's going to be a storm. There's going to be a storm. In order for Noah to survive the flood, he's got to live through the storm. Amen. There's got to be a storm in your life. We know that. You're going to build an ark. You better expect some clouds. Amen. No wonder Paul told us, he said, I fought a good fight. It's a fight, this Christian life you and I are living in. It's a battle. It's always going to be a storm. Noah gets in that ark and everybody's making fun of him. Noah's like, that's all right. It's dark right now. People make fun of me. I know that's going to happen. I knew it's going to be like this. I knew it's going to be like this. I knew it's going to be like this. But I'm going to sit here till God comes. So God sends the rain. I'm sitting in here. I'm not getting out. And you know what? Noah survived the storm. Didn't get wet. Amen. Study that one for a while. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, You better understand this morning, if you're going to live for Jesus, there are going to be storms in your life. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. You're going to have ups. You're going to have downs. But thank God, the one that sends the rain is also the one that calms the storms. Amen. He's a lighthouse shining in the rain and in the fog of the storm. Yeah, there's old lighthouses on a mountainside somewhere, and things, they shine that light out like that. And what's it doing? It's warning that you're getting close to shore. It means you're getting close to rocks. And sometimes you can't see because of the rain or the storm or whatever. So that light just keeps shining. It just keeps shining. It just keeps shining. I'm going to go through my storms, Brother D, and just keep shining. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you knew what Noah knew, you'd know a storm's coming your way. But you'd just get in the ark and be content to sit there and let the storm pass by. If you knew what Noah knew, you wouldn't quit either. The Bible says, Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah. It said he did everything the Lord commanded him to do. In Genesis 7:5, again, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commandeth him. Noah didn't quit. Boys come to Noah and say, Dad, are you sure this is going to happen? Yeah. Get some nails. But Dad, nobody knows what rain is. There's not even clouds in the sky. And I got to think, I wonder if there was ever clouds prior to that. I wonder if they'd ever seen a cloud. I guess they did. I'm sure they wasn't no big old black storm clouds, but I mean, they're like, Dad, no, it's, go get me a hammer. Dad, I don't feel like it today. Well, all right, go play Nintendo. I'm gonna go work on that ark. Noah just kept building. Noah never quit. Amen. Noah's got family. You know, he's got aunts or uncles or cousins, maybe even brothers or sisters that told him, Noah, you're taking this God thing too serious. Noah, you've went off the deep end. Noah, what's wrong with you? Noah, what's wrong with you? And he's got people that he loves that don't get on the ark. But he keeps building. Noah's neighbors filed complaints at the courthouse because his ark was blocking their view. And their chickens weren't getting enough sunlight. I remember that on Andy Griffith's show. An episode about that. Some guy built a fence. I don't know if Natalie's neighbors are like that or not. I tell you what, y'all got chickens. Better keep them safe. They're more valuable than catalytic converters right now. Amen. I mean, things. I mean, eggs are, how much are eggs, like $15 a dozen or something like that? I mean, Lord have mercy. Can I borrow a couple of chickens? I mean, they're in a mess. This thing's gone crazy. But anyhow, I don't mean to get sidetracked. But there went a squirrel. Anyhow, but you know, Noah just keeps building. Noah didn't quit. 70 some years Noah spends building this ark, and he never quit. I'm sure Noah had times he says, Lord, it's really rain? I've never seen, but Noah never quit. Noah got fussed at. Noah got complained at. Noah got cussed out. Noah got quarreled out. Noah, people made fun of him at work. He lost his job. All he talked about is this ark. All he talks about this rain. All he talks about is this. All he talks about is all this other stuff. And you know what? Noah never quit. Let me remind you this morning that Paul 2 times wrote to churches, be not weary in well doing. You will reap in due season if you faint not. I know it's hard. I know there's attacks. I know you get hit. I've been hit. I've been wounded. I know it happens. We talk about it Wednesday night Bible study, how sometimes when you get beat on, you get hurt, and there's weapons that are aimed at you, and you hear some nutball preacher say, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I know they won't prosper, but doggone it, they're still formed. Amen. They're still pointed at me. It still hurts. You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I know I can quench them, but doggone it, I still get stuck with them too. Amen. Listen, this thing gets difficult. And Jesus told the church of Smyrna, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Amen. We're living in a world where it's going to get difficult. It's going to be hard. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, you just need to suck it up and don't quit. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I got those two backwards. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Timothy, I didn't quit when they stoned me. Timothy, I didn't quit when I got shipwrecked. Timothy, I didn't quit when I got snake bit. I kept fighting. I kept going. Man alive, I've heard it all, but I'm not quitting. I've been beat on. I've been quarreled at myself, but I'm not quitting. I'm not finished yet, but I'm going to. Amen. And let me say, on behalf of everybody in this church, listen, let me tell you what you can do this morning. You can keep going. Amen. You don't have to quit. You don't have to be a loser. Jack Howell, you say, he's the dictionary about. He went under the cues, got the word quit and cut it out of his dictionary. He said, I lost what was on the backside. He said, but I didn't have quit either. Oh, amen. Listen, that ought not be a thought for us. Amen. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. If we knew what Noah knew, we wouldn't quit. If you knew what Noah knew, you wouldn't quit. You'd expect a cloud. You wouldn't be surprised when it rained. Everybody else, that first rain, got like, oh my gosh, what's that? Noah's like, ha-ha, that's rain! I mean, they're in a panic about it. They're like, what in the world is this stuff falling from the sky? Noah's in the ark going, whoa, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And they're like, wonder what's wrong with you. He said, I told y'all it was going to rain. I told you it was going to happen. I told you. But Noah's water is falling. Somebody up there spitting at us. And Noah's like, I know it. He said, man, God's been faithful. He said, I built this ark. I've been out here all these years, and I've been telling y'all all this time that this is going to happen. I've been telling you it's going to happen. He said, hey, look, it's a happening. Amen. And they're like, but Noah, what's wrong with you? He said, man, I've never been so happy in my life to get it to watch rain fall. Amen. But listen, if you knew what Noah knew, your message would change. Amen. Hello. 7 days. Noah sets in an ark. Nothing happens. He watches the animals come in, and I guess something happens. He just sits there. Noah's preached God's existence. Right? He knew God. Noah's preached. He's preached about God's love. Noah's preached about God's mercy. Noah's preached about the fellowship of God and how about God's long suffering. But 7 days before the first raindrop ever fell, Noah's message changed. God said, Noah, get in. Noah said, yes, sir. He gets in. Here comes, you know, the dogs, they're barking, they're walking right in, the cows have been moo, and they're getting out, everything's coming in. Noah, for 7 days, I don't believe, is preaching God's love anymore. I don't think Noah's sitting there saying, man, God's patient with y'all. My granddaddy lived 969 years old. God's patient. You know what Noah was preaching? Noah's preaching, you better get in. Listen, something's getting ready to happen. God told me to get in. You better get in. And you better get in. And you better... No, so you better get in. You better get in. It's getting ready to happen. You better get in. And what Noah do? Boy, Noah went from preaching about God's love and how you can walk with God and all this. But Noah started preaching judgment's coming. Amen. Judgment is coming. Amen. Noah's family's in the ark. The animals are coming in. The only thing that's missing was rain. And Noah just kept saying, it's coming. At first they don't say, listen, God's done told me in 7 days it's going to rain. Noah knows in 7 days rain's coming. That first day, he says, listen, it's coming in 7 days. You better get in. He said, you better get in. The next day, you've got 6 more days. You've got six more days. You've got 5 days to get in. You've only got 5 days to get your act together and get your life settled and give your life to God and get in. You've only got 4 days to get in. You need to be in. 3 days is all the time you've got left. Don't you understand? God's going to judge this world in 2 days. 2 days He's going to send rain. Tomorrow it's going to rain. Too late. I told you had 7 days. I can see Noah from the window. God shuts the door. Noah said, I told y'all for a week it's going to rain. I told you 7 days ago this is going to happen. Bloop, bloop,
I told you five, and some guy comes by and says, Noah, let me in. Noah says, I told you yesterday to get in. And you would not. Bloop, 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 bloop. The rain starts beating on them. Noah says, I told you 7 days. Judgment's coming. 7 days. I read this and studied this out. In order for it to, in 40 days and 40 nights, to rain to the point that it covers the whole earth and all that, you understand that it's 725 feet of rain per day. To cover Mount Everest. This is some science estimated this, I don't know. That's a lot of rain. 725 feet per day. That's 30 feet of rain an hour. 6 inches of rain a minute. 6 inches. Every 2 minutes is a foot of rain. I'm over my head in 12 minutes. It didn't take long. Once God starts sending judgment, it don't take long.
No.
That guy just a second ago was telling Noah, Noah, please let me in. Now he's, Noah, help me. Noah said, I've tried to help you. But if we knew what Noah knew.
Amen.
See, the sad thing is, we don't know if they've got 7 days. I don't know if you got 7 days, 7 years, 7 minutes. But what I do know is that judgment's coming.
Yes, it is.
What I do know is the only way to miss this judgment is to be inside. As old timers always said, inside the old ark of safety, the old ship of Zion, the storm's coming. They had 7 days. Your loved ones may not have that long. If you knew what Noah, if you could look at somebody and God would speak to you and say, listen, they're going to die in 5 days. You've got 5 days to reach them. How does your message change? Seriously, think about it. You got a loved one that you love dearly. And God looks at you and says, all right, Mom, look. That child that you used to hold and baby and love, and in a week, I'm calling them. Then you'd be like, but God, they're not saved. God said, I know. Then I'm giving you a week to witness and try to tell them. How does our approach change? I promise you, you won't be, won't you come to church next Sunday? Your approach would change. We wouldn't be like, well, they'd say, well, I'll come. You say, why don't you come to church? And like, maybe Easter. No, you don't understand. You won't be here come Easter. We'd change. You go down to Kroger and they'd be like, you can't hand those back to me. Here, you want one? You gotta leave. You want another one?
Amen. Come on.
But you can't do this. Listen, man, you got 5 days. If we knew what Noah knew, the message would be drastically different.
Amen.
Well, we wouldn't worry about a lot of things. I mean, if I knew that 7 days was all I had to win lost, I think my message would, I think I'd preach a little different. If we knew Jesus was coming back in 7 days, I'd preach a little harder. I think I've preached pretty hard this morning. My throat feels like it. These ladies and these young folks, they'd sing just a little louder. We'd hand out more tracts. They couldn't print them fast enough for you, D. See, if you knew what Noah knew,
what would you do different? How does it change you? Noah sits in that ark 7 days. I can see folks coming by, looking up at him and saying, he's crazy. He thinks it's going to rain. You know, they do that to you. Every time you're around them, all they want to talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They think this guy's going to come back and take him to heaven. I said, I don't know when he's coming, but I do know he's coming.
Yes, he is. Amen.
I may not know the day or the hour, but I know the who and the how. If you only knew what Noah knew. Amen. So I'll bow our head. Miss Emily, if you will, come up to the piano, please.